Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Presenting Pixie Dust. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Brett.
And we're very serious today because we are talking about very, very serious things. So we're doing something a little bit different today. If you've been a listener for a long time, then you would know that last year, I think it was episode 26, we did a ranking of what we found to be the best princess song.
Disney princess song.
Thank you for the
clarification. Not just any old princess songs.
No, of course not.
We're not talking about, you know, princess
go
Diana
on. Name another princess. Fiona?
Yeah.
So today we are doing sort of like a callback to that episode, but instead of looking at finding the best princess song, which we have already done, and you should go and listen to episode 26 if you haven't done that already. But today we are looking at the best Disney villain song.
Dun, dun, dun.
There are so many good ones.
There are.
That wasn't convincing, was it? There are.
Okay, so here's the thing that I sort of noticed when we were listening to all of these songs is that they're not as good as the hero songs, the protagonist songs.
Oh, I disagree.
They just aren't. No, you're wrong.
No. You're so wrong.
No, they do. Look, they do definitely serve a different purpose. But, you know, I just, a lot of them, I think you really got to see them in the context of the movie.
Okay.
You know, they're not particularly enjoyable in isolation. Okay. That's my pick, people.
Okay. So today, how we've done this.
Yep.
So let me just explain to the people listening how we've done this. I have gone ahead and chosen 12 of probably the most well-known Disney villain songs.
Yeah.
And we've done a random draw and put, you know, pitted them up against each other. We're going to do a knockout for the first round. So of the two that we've put against each other, we're going to knock them one out. The other one will move forward to the next round where it will face off against one of the winners. And then we should end up with three in the final round, which will give a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point scoring system to and find which songs we think are the best.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? It's going to make sense as we go, I promise. It's the same sort of deal that we did with the princess songs. So if you listen to that episode, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. So should we just get straight into it? Round one?
Yeah.
Okay. So round one, we have, so this is a random draw. Round one, we had Friends on the Other Side from The Princess and the Frog, sung by Dr. Facilier, and we had, or The Shadow Man, and we had The Prince Ali reprise, sung by Jafar from Aladdin. Can I just say, it is a travesty that Jafar doesn't have a full song.
Yeah, so it's quite short.
It's so short. It's like a minute.
If that. And it really is just a little bit of a throw-in. Follows the same tune as the other song. It's
Prince Ali.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's coming off the back of that coattail.
Well, you know what it is? It's similar to, do you remember how we talked about in the Princess episode, the Belle doesn't have her own song either? She's got a reprise and it's just ridiculous. She has lots of other times that she sings throughout the movie, but she doesn't have her own song. Whereas Jafar doesn't even sing in anything else. And he's such a great singer.
I think that it's probably a wasted opportunity for a character to have their own song, you know, like a proper full maniacal, gonna take over the world kind of song.
And really unusual for the Disney Renaissance period of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, all of those big, huge ones, for Jafar not to get his own villain song.
So Jafar reveals Aladdin to Jasmine during this short sequence, kind of exposes him as the poor beggar street urchin.
Street rat.
Yeah, street rat, that's it.
Yep.
So, you know, it certainly has its place in the movie, but it's probably largely underutilized.
Yeah.
Friends on the Other Side is, I think, a terrific song.
It's magnificent.
It's got a real swinging jazz kind of song, which is, you know, as we've pointed out in a few other episodes, that we're big fans of
New Orleans
and all of that scene.
All that jazz.
All that jazz. And so this really, that movie, whole movie captured New Orleans very well.
Yeah.
And this song takes it to the next level.
This song is so good. And you know what? I love the echoes. I love the sort of unpredictability of the song because it's got that jazziness. It's sort of every now and again he sings like off the beat and everything like they would in jazz. And it's just, it's so good. And I love all the echoes of, you know, little ghosty things around him. And I love the, are you ready? All those bits.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so, so good. And you know what? It's a brilliant representation of the character. And it's the first time, I mean, we see the Shadow Man earlier, but that's his big, like, introduction to us. And it's just so good.
So he does his tarot reading of, what's the prince's name?
Prince Naveen.
Prince Naveen.
Who's just like, meh, I don't really care.
And also Prince Naveen's, like, sidekick butler kind of guy.
Peter Pettigrew. That's I know it's one. Not, but it really looks like Peter Pettigrew from Harry Potter. I know it's not.
Yeah, it does look like him. It does look exactly like him. And by the end of the song, well, at the end of the song, he's done some magic on the prince. And it's not until the next scene, I think, we see that he's been turned into a frog.
Yeah,
spoilers!
Because I think that the point of a really good villain song is it sort of spells out the villain's motives going forward. It usually happens early in the piece for the villain.
Mm.
And it gives you, just like a princess song is like the princess's I want song about what she wants to achieve. This is the villain song about their motives. It gives you more insight into the character, and I think that Friends on the Other Side is incredible.
So, scoring out of 5?
Yeah, we can do that, or we could just move it through. What do you want to do?
Well, what did you score for them?
Oh, look, I gave Friends on the Other Side a 4 out of 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I gave it 4.5.
Amazing. Oh, no, I did give it 4.5. I just saw my little 0.5 that I added later. I gave the Prince Ali reprise a 2.
A 2?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought I was being harsh giving it a 3.
No, I gave it a 2. Not because it's not great. It needed to be longer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It just needed more. It wasn't enough. I wanted more.
Could have gone a lot further.
So we're pushing Friends on the Other Side through to round 2.
Yep, definitely.
Amazing. Cha-ching. That one's done. Okay, so second round, round 2. We have got, this. I love this song. We have got Be Prepared from The Lion King.
Yep.
Coming up against the Siamese Cat song from Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. Mm.
Do we really want to go into the Siamese Cat song?
So,
what is there to say that hasn't already been said?
Do you know what? It's just that movie, I think's kind of hitting it at a different level.
Okay.
It's probably not one of the best movies come out of Disney, I don't think.
I mean, I think that Lady and the Tramp,
personal taste.
Lady and the Tramp has some hugely iconic moments.
Yeah.
This song, though,
this song is forgettable. Yeah. So we got the two cats. They're mischievous. It's got an oriental.
I don't know if you can use
it. Is it the right word, oriental? Now,
no, I don't think so. It's definitely, we can hear definitely like a really stereotypical Eastern Asian sound even before it starts. And the cats have these exaggerated Asian features. They sing in broken English.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think the most important thing.
It's problematic.
It's so problematic. And it does absolutely nothing for the story.
Not a very good song at all.
No.
Anyway.
Like, and I remember even being a kid watching this movie and going, I hate this song.
Yeah, it was a waste of time.
Sorry,
I gave it 2.5, and that's really, really generous.
I gave it a 1. I thought about giving it a 0. All right,
so I put a big cross through that. And
let's talk about big.
I think it doesn't matter what you're putting it up against. That one was probably out of all of them the worst song.
That was absolutely definitely the worst.
Be prepared. Quite a strong song.
Oh,
Scar sings
it
with the hyenas, which I think is really cool. The sort of the color and the light. You know, in that scene as well, it kind of adds, it's got the green tones and stuff. It adds to the evilness. And they've got a sort of a scene which is very Nazi-esque of all the hyenas marching along, which kind of adds to Scar's kind of maniacal nature, his controlling nature. So I think it does a lot for his establishing his character as being a bad character. But I think in similar to Jafar, it's not a very long song. Like it could have gone more with that, more with that, or even given him another song as well. But for the song that it was, it definitely kicks the Siamese Cat song's butt.
I think that this song is just brilliant. I know, like I've said before, I think that this song is one of my favourites. And when they cut this song out of the live action Lion King, that I was like, nah. They could have a 5-minute sequence of like a dung beetle going through the, but we couldn't keep be prepared.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this song is magnificent. Jeremy Irons' deep voice is just delicious. And it spells out his whole plan, Scar's whole plan, and just how evil he is. And I think that like this whole time we sort of felt sorry for him. We know he's not good because he sent Simba to the elephant graveyard.
Yeah.
So we know he's got some like dodgy things going on, but this song is just, oh, it's so good. And I think it's just because his deep, deep voice and the hyenas sort of echoing him.
Yeah,
and it's
they
just,
chime
it's,
in.
It's so good. So we're putting Be Prepared through, are we?
Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful.
There's not even a competition with that one.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's go. Let's smash them out. Round three. We've got Gaston from Beauty and the Beast going up against, and I know that this was a contentious issue because I did do a poll on our Instagram to see what people thought about this character being considered a Disney villain, but it was 80-20, so I figured we could go with it. Shiny from Moana.
Yep. Well, what was interesting about the Gaston song is that it's mostly not sung by Gaston. It's mostly sung by LeFou and the other ensemble.
That's true.
Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, so when I picked these songs, that was another thing, another criteria that I had in my head was it either had to be sung by the villain or about the villain. Because we have another song coming up the next round that's not sung by the villain either.
Well, the Gaston song is very humorous and very theatrical. And I think that, you know, it kind of speaks to Gaston's narcissism quite well. And it also, in the scene itself is also very funny. Yeah.
I think that the song's really catchy. As a villain song, it tells you a lot about Gaston himself. Mm. We learn a lot about him and, you know, how many eggs he eats and blah, blah, blah. But it does not give you the foreshadowing as to what's going to come up for the character and what his intentions are that the other songs give us. But like Gaston, I suppose it's all very surface level.
Yeah, that's right.
So I suppose it's very suiting of the character.
Yeah.
So what about Shiny? What do you think about Shiny? Actually, I can tell you what you think about Shiny because you love Jermaine Clement.
I do. Massive fan. Flight of the Conchords, massive fan.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's also a very catchy tune, though. Like, it makes you want to sing along. Shiny! so it really kind of... This would be a hard one to pick between them, but Tamatoa, Jermaine Clement's the giant crab under the sea, sort of sings this... It's a really quite a joyful song, which kind of is... It goes sort of in the opposite direction of what is actually happening in the scene, which is... that he's trying to kill Maui and trying to kill Moana as well. So, it's quite funny that's happening during the song and the song is so sort of just like a cruisy song, you know.
See, I love Jermaine Clement. I do. I don't love this song.
Really?
I really don't. I feel like when this song came up in the movie, I felt like it just slowed down the whole movie. This is a nothing character. This is a character that is in this one scene. We don't see him again. He has no real lasting impact on the movie except for the fact that he's the one that's got Maui's hook or has ended up with Maui's hook, however he's ended up with it. And it's just sort of like I felt like the song just went forever. and I don't know if it did go for any longer than any of the other songs, but I don't love this song.
Well,
so I gave Gaston... Yeah. A 4 out of 5, and I gave Shiny a 3.
Woo! Okay.
I know.
I gave Gaston a 4. Yeah. 4, but I gave Shiny a 4.5.
Is that just because you love Jermaine Clement, or is it because you love the song? Look, if you want to push, if you feel really strongly about this and you want to push Shiny through to the next round.
I think both of the songs are sort of fairly similar in many ways.
They really are.
In what they say about the character, you know, there's kind of. There's more to be read from the scene than there is from the song, or more to be gleaned from the scene than from the song. I think, like you said, with Tamatoa, you know, he's in it for that one scene and he doesn't have any lasting effect on the storyline.
No.
Whereas with Gaston, obviously, he's in and out of the story, and we get that big switch of character from, you know, I think you know, Tamatoa is just straight up a selfish, mean kind of crab dude with self-interest.
Sleazy crab guy.
Whereas Gaston's got like a story arc that, that has a bit of a flip and a switch.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to look at these songs, these two in particular, without looking at the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But like, I prefer Gaston.
Let's go with Gaston.
We're going to go with Gaston? Yep. Okay.
I'll let you have that one.
I might want one later. Don't just give me that
one. No, you've got that one.
All right, round three. So for round three, we have Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians up against Mine, Mine, Mine from Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Cruella, I know we spoke about this song fairly recently when we did our 101 Dalmatians episode.
Yeah.
It's just such a nice song about such an awful character.
Yeah.
And it's just so cruisy and easy listening. Melodically, it's lovely. It's iconic.
Mm. I think what was interesting too, in very similar, in some ways similar to Gaston, is that Roger and Anita are singing about Cruella. Yeah. Cruella never sings at all.
No.
And I think we said that when we talked about the movie, that it was a wasted opportunity for Cruella. Could have had a song of her own.
Yeah.
Which would have gone further to illustrate her character, because in that, in the context of the movie, we didn't see a lot of, she didn't do a lot of things in the movie. And she could have, they could have had her doing a lot more things and having, you know, she was this sort of threat, but from a distance most of the time.
Yeah.
And it would have been good to have her more involved. But anyway, that's a long story. But yeah, it's sort of really quite a boppy song. It's short and it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Pongo sings along, kind of barks along with him.
Like Pongo sings? Well, we're watching the same song there.
Yeah, so that was quite a good. I gave that a 4.
I gave that one a 4 as well.
Yeah. Mine, Mine, Mine. Mine, 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 Mine. No.
That's a different song, but okay.
Pocahontas. Yeah, this is an interesting song, I thought. Governor Ratcliffe, he implores the workers to work. Dig, dig, dig.
Yeah.
He's basically going to demolish anything in front of him to get the gold.
World.
Yeah. It's swinging. It's lighthearted. It's got that sort of fresh frontier music sound to it, which, you know, the kind of music you'd see here on all the old Western movies and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Smith actually chimes in a bit toward the end there, and he speaks more of an adventure. So he
has like the juxtaposition.
Yeah. But I gave it a 3.5. I thought, you know, it was all right.
I like the double meaning of the word mine in that song. So they talk about mine as in mine the gold and, you know, digging things up. Mining as in digging. And then they, you know, he speaks about mine, 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 as in it's going to be his, all of his.
Yeah.
And I don't remember picking up on that before we watched it. And I haven't watched Pocahontas in a long time. And I don't know that I ever really paid that much attention to this song. On another note, when we were in Bali, do you remember when we went to the Harry Potter pub?
Yep.
Because we went a couple of times in Kuta, there's a Harry Potter pub, and all the Harry Potter characters did a lip sync to this song, to Mine, Mine, Mine from Pocahontas. I've got no idea why. It was just, it was a really wild evening, but it was just so funny. And every time I hear this song now, I think of being in Bali and watching all the Harry Potter characters lip sync and dance to this song, which was bizarre. But, you know, side note, I think it definitely sets up the desires of the villain, and we know what his intentions are. So I think that's really important. I don't know if it's as good a song as Cruella. I think Cruella's probably a better song, but I also don't know if I like Cruella because it is so iconic. Because Cruella really doesn't tell you much about her.
No.
It just sings about how horrible she is.
Yeah.
But it is a really great song.
It's got a bit of a swing to it.
Yeah. Mine, Mine, Mine was very good.
And sort of, like we said, it's interesting, like, comparing these two songs, because one is sung about the bad character and one is the bad character singing his intentions.
I'll let you have this one. Which one are you pushing
through? Let's go with Cruella.
All right. Fantastic. We're going to keep Cruella. For round four, Cruella has gone through. All right. So we are up to round 5 of 6. So we have got Oogie Boogie Song from Nightmare Before Christmas up against Hellfire from Hunchback of Notre Dame. We have done episodes on both of these movies, Hunchback and Nightmare Before Christmas. So if you're interested in a much more deep dive aspect on these movies, you can go back and listen to those episodes too.
Mm.
We did, I think, Nightmare Before Christmas around Halloween time last year, and Hunchback was really early. I think it was at, like, episode 4 or something. It was really early in their podcast history. All right, do you want to go?
Yeah, so Oogie Boogie's, you know, it has this really swinging jazz kind of number.
It's very Friends on the Other Side. Did you think very, that?
Well, you know, which one came first?
Well, I know this one came first, but I know Oogie Boogie's song came first, but it is very, very similar to Friends on the Other Side.
There's a sense of dread. You know, Oogie Boogie's a scary character. He sings to Santa. I love the glowing fluoro colours in this song as well. It is very similar to Friends on the Other Side in the way that the colours and that in the background, stage, the characters pop out and interact as well. Yeah, I think it's quite a strong song. I gave it a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
It's okay. I think I'm, you know, if it came up against Friends on the Other Side, Friends on the Other Side is a better song than this one. It's like it wasn't up against Friends on the Other Side.
Wow.
Because, like, this one was all right. It might
be in the end.
It might be in the end. It was okay. Yeah. I mean, it suited the character. It was creepy. It was definitely creepy.
Yeah. The movie itself is...
It's not the best song in Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's not, but it's also a movie that is... You know, I guess a bit more of a peculiar taste.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, very similar to Friends on the Other Side. It's okay. It was nice. It was cool. It was all right. I gave it a 3.
Yeah, the Hellfire song was interesting.
Oh, Hellfire. I find that song so disturbing. I feel dirty after I listen to that song. Even watching it again, just in isolation, it's so dark. The lyrics are awful. She will be mine or she will burn.
Yeah.
And he's seeing, like, visions, hallucinations of Esmeralda gyrating towards... It's just awful.
So for the viewers out there, Hellfire is sung by the... Is he bishop or something?
He's a judge, isn't he? Judge
Frollo? Is he the judge or is he the...
I thought he was a judge.
Priest. No.
He's not a priest. Not priest. No. I think he's a judge. He's the judge. Yeah.
But he's in the cathedral. Singing this song, and it's a real lusty kind of song.
Yeah,
about the gypsy girl
Esmeralda,
and he's going to destroy her
because he wants her so badly, but he can't. He won't sin, and it's awful.
There's some victim blaming going on there.
Oh, it's awful
that she's going to suffer because he can't keep it in his pants, more or less.
Yeah,
not such a kids' film, I reckon.
No,
there's
really
some
dark.
Real dark, dirty adult themes there.
It's a good song, though.
It's preceded by some choir music, too, which is quite nice. That's kind of interesting how it goes from this nice choral singing into this, kind of almost a lewd song.
I mean, it's a better song than Oogie Boogie.
I gave them both a 4.
I gave Hellfire a 4.
Yeah, I gave them both a 4. I thought they were kind of equally strong.
I think as a villain because song... It's a really good villain song.
Because, like you said, you feel dirty just listening to it.
I feel dirty, but it means
it's done its job.
Yeah, and it really sets up the character. It lets you know what his motives are going forward. I think as a villain song, it's very, very good. It's it's really strong and it's horrible and it makes you hate him.
Yep. I think Oogie Boogie's song is a similar, thing that it really does speak to the character's horribleness.
Yeah.
So which one's going to make it through?
Well, I voted Hellfire more. I don't think it'll get further than the next round, but
Hellfire through.
Okay. All right. Hellfire's going through.
Yeah, they're very similar. They're very similar on a similar keel. But yeah, let's go with Hellfire.
Okay.
Last round.
Okay. So this is round 6. 2 very strong contenders in this round. So we have Poor Unfortunate Souls from The Little Mermaid up against Mother Knows Best from Tangled.
Yeah.
I'm going to start. Poor Unfortunate Souls is a perfect song. That's my opinion. You know what? It's sassy. It's perfect for the character of Ursula. Her little asides to Flotsam and Jetsam, like her singing to Ariel and being really nice and schmoozy and schmarmy, and then her little asides to Flotsam and Jetsam, so you know what's going on. It's charismatic, it's manipulative. I love the double Poor Unfortunate Souls reference. So she's singing about all these people that she's helped and how poor those poor unfortunate souls. And then she flips it so that Ariel is the poor unfortunate soul. It's just, I just think it's so good. I just think it's so, so good. What did you think of that?
Wow.
Because I'll fight to the death for this one.
It's deceptive, manipulative. I like it. It's very strong. Very strong. I think Mother Knows Best, I think, is a better song.
Stop it.
Yep. Mother
Knows Best. Is that because you love Tangled?
Is a very theatrical song. It's joyful.
It's more
at the
theatrical
same time.
Than Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Well, it's just the way that she sings it, I think.
Okay.
It's joyful, but it's joyful manipulation, I wrote down. And she kind of breaks Rapunzel's spirit a bit at the end there.
Mm.
Yeah, both very strong songs. I think they're both great because they're both similar because they do play on that manipulation factor, manipulation of the character.
Yeah.
Passing themselves off as, you know, of good intent.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we as the audience can clearly see that it's not, that's not the way, you know. Yeah.
It's interesting that these two songs in the draw came up against each other because they're very similar in the way that, you know, they're both very manipulative.
Yep.
Both a female villain.
Yeah, so to answer your question, yeah, probably because I like Tangled far more than I like The Little Mermaid. But that's because I think there's a lot of good themes in the Tangled that I really like. I think we spoke about that when we did Tangled.
Yeah, we've done a Tangled episode.
Female empowerment and things like that, which is wonderful. Good messages for girls. Whereas The Little Mermaid, you know, sacrificing your voice to get a man.
That's not what The Little Mermaid's about.
Oh, it's part of it.
It's not. And maybe when we do a Little Mermaid episode, we will have this discussion in length because today is not the time. But it's not what that is about at all.
Well, that's what I recall.
Maybe you need to watch A Little Mermaid again.
We might have to do an episode on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for today, we need to make a choice, and I think we're not going to be able to sort it out.
So do we need to do paper, scissors, roll?
We need to flip a coin or something.
Oh, no. This is giving me anxiety. Can't you just let me have Poor Unfortunate Souls?
Ready? We'll do paper, scissors, roll.
All right. Okay.
One, two,
three. Hang on. Are we doing rock, paper, scissors, shoot or one, two, three, change? That's
rock,
the same either
rock,
way.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay. All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ah, oh, no! No!
Suck
I can't!
It.
No! It's not fair! Best of three! No! Oh! Well, now I've got nothing left to live for. Fine. Look, just so the listeners know, Poor Unfortunate Soul should be going through, but I lost. So...
why do I get the feeling that we would have ended up with the winner being Poor Unfortunate Soul?
I can't control the point system. That's why we do the point system, for it to be fair.
Well, it's just that you had two really strong songs that are up against each other in round one.
It's so much better. Okay. All right, shall we go on to round two? So round two, we then have Friends on the Other Side up against Be Prepared.
Yeah. Yep. I still think I rate Friends on the Other Side higher. I think it's a much stronger song.
Then Be Prepared.
Yeah, I mean, points-wise, that's how I marked it.
Okay. All right, yeah, I mark them the same, but they're both very, very good songs. And I love Be Prepared, but maybe that's just... I do love Friends on the Other Side as well. So are we going with Friends on the Other Side then for the final round, going through to the finals?
Yep, I think so.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Okay, we've got Gaston up against Cruella de Vil.
Ooh, I scored them both the same.
So did I.
But I kind of feel like I'm leaning towards the Gaston song.
Okay.
What about you?
I think that Gaston is a better song than Cruella. I think Cruella is a great song. And maybe if it was up against something else, it might actually know. If it was up against something else, it wouldn't have come through. But okay, we'll go Gaston. Gaston for
Gaston.
Round.
Gaston.
Gaston going through.
Yep.
And finally... I don't care about this one because you got rid of my favourite. So we've got Hellfire going up against Mother Knows Best.
Okay. What about if I gave you a second chance draw and I said, what would... No, we're going to end up with the same thing.
We're going to end up with the same
thing. All right. Out of Hellfire and Mother Knows Best, which one are we going to pick? I've got Mother Knows Best as being marked higher for me.
Okay, so we'll put through Mother Knows Best on that one.
All right. Well, I said I'd give you a second chance draw.
Really?
Let's put Poor Unfortunate Souls up against...
I would put Poor Unfortunate Souls over Gaston.
Yeah, okay. So let's put Poor Unfortunate Souls up. Let's put Gaston against Mother Knows Best.
Well, then it would be Mother Knows Best.
Okay. So now our final three are Friends on the Other Side.
Can we do this? Can we change the draw?
Of course we can. It's our Friends on the Other Side.
Poor
Unfortunate Souls and Mother Knows Best.
Okay. All right. So now, do you want a second to give your rating? We're doing now a 3-2-1 rating on your top pick, your second pick, and your last pick. So 3 points for your top pick, 2 points for your second pick, and 1 point for your last pick. So that's our final three, and we'll decide what our final one is from there. All right, I've done it.
Okay.
Thank you for giving me back Poor Unfortunate Souls.
All right.
So, we don't have to get divorced today. All right, what did you go with?
So I'll give my three to Friends on the Other Side.
Mm-hmm.
Just think it's a great song.
It is a really good song.
I've given two to Mother Knows Best, and I've given one to Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Okay, so I've given three to Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Yeah.
So that gives Poor Unfortunate Souls a grand total of 4 points.
Yeah.
It's all right, it's not going to come in first. I can live with that. I gave Friends on the Other Side two.
Yeah.
That was my second choice, which then gives that a grand total of
five
points. And Mother Knows Best, I gave 1 point.
So that gives it three.
That gives it three. Didn't you give Mother Knows Best? Oh, no, because you rated it second.
Mm.
Oh, ba-bams, how the tables have turned. All right.
So that means that
gives us our final number. So thank you for bearing with us, listeners, while we had those very deep and meaningful discussions. But the definitive ranking now of the top three Disney villain songs is, in first place, is Friends on the Other Side from Princess and the Frog.
Yay!
With our top score. In second place is Poor Unfortunate Souls from The Little Mermaid.
Yay!
I'll concede to Friends on the Other Side. It's a great song. And then in third place is Mother Knows Best from Tangled.
Woo!
And you know what? If the draw was different, we might have had a different outcome. You know what? We wouldn't. We wouldn't have had a different outcome. Because I would have fought for it.
Yeah, so there you go.
Did you want to add anything else before we finish up?
Well, it's certainly an interesting process having a look at the evil character songs, because they often get a bit overlooked.
Yep.
Mm. I'm happy to say that I think the Siamese cat song would have to be last on the list.
Definitely.
I'm sure there's probably other songs that are more worthy of being on the list than that
one.
You know
what? When I looked up Disney villain songs, these were in the top. Because there were others, like there's one from Robin Hood. There's one from Sword in the Stone, but you know, these were the most well known ones, I think. And I know that people have arguments as to whether Tamatoa is a Disney villain, but oh well. Okay, so thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to our episode today. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you agree with our choices or if you completely disagree, and what you would have done in its place. If you do a different draw than us, let us know what your final three came down to. And remember that you can change one if you need to. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep up with all the show news. And don't forget, if you leave a really nice review wherever you listen to the podcast, we will give you a shout out on the next episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So we love you. Thanks for listening. Did you want to add anything else?
No, it's all good. Oh, look, I'll just say, like,
watch it with your kids. Listen with your kids, but maybe not Hellfire.
Get on you. No. You'll have to explain a few things to your kids if you watch that song. No, look, you know, there's some really good songs. They make the best sense as part of watching the movie, though.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say go and watch them on YouTube with you, because it's, watch them as part of watching the movies. Yeah.
So you've got 12 movies to watch. Have fun. Bye.
Bye.